This is Doug Miller. God is doing a work for eternity. But when you are the one caught in time and hurting, it can sometimes seem like an eternity. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with this book in hand and open. It is the Word of God. It's quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. If it is truth you are after, here is truth. You can put it in the bank and stand on it. So bring your Bibles, come along. We are in the seventh chapter of Job, and call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the support and assistance of the people of God. Please pray for Dialogue. We need your prayers. Tell others about us. We need that. We cannot exist without your prayers and your support. Of course, I can sit on here and talk into this microphone. It will make no difference. The most powerful thing we've got going for us right now is the prayers of the saints. So pray for Dialogue. And as I always say, we would love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners and to know where you are, where you're listening from. Our mailing address is Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, if you don't like to write with pen and paper, you can email us. Email address is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you would like to pull down our webpage, please do. No problem with that. No obligation to you of any kind. It's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And you can read about Dialogue and listen to the broadcasts that we have put on there. We don't have all of them up, but we try to keep it fairly current. Okay, if you would like to call and talk to me, I'd be happy to talk to you. Although, as you've heard me say on here, if you listen to Dialogue, I don't have a secretary there waiting on your calls and just, you know, we don't have that. Not going to spend the money for that. You'll get a message, and you can leave a message, and I'll get back with you. The number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. All right, let's get into the seventh chapter of the book of Job. And we left off last time at the ninth verse. And so we'll just pick it up there again. As we were reading this, now this is Job talking throughout this this seventh chapter, and it is a bitter, bitter, and difficult chapter to read. And, of course, it is a highly poetic chapter. I'm sure that this is the way people talked in that society and that culture back then, but this is poetry, and it is Job lamenting and making his complaint to whoever he can get to listen to. Now, I have no idea whether or not Job thought God was listening. His three friends were there, and we've already heard from them. And of course, we're going to hear a lot from them. We've heard from Eliphaz, the Temanite, and we're going to hear from Bildad, the Shuhite, here in a minute. But right now, Job is talking. Whether or not he is responding to Eliphaz, I don't know. I'm sure that that's a part of it. But I know this. This man is hurting. Now, I said at the outset of the broadcast, God is building for eternity. But when you are in time, when you are the one trapped in time, and we all are right now, those of us who are living and listening, and we're caught up in the time stream. And time is, without a doubt, very relative. Very relative. I mean, not only is it relative in the sense that Einstein talked about it, within Einstein's theory, but Einstein himself said, and this is kind of interesting, if you think that time is not relative, just spend 10 minutes, kissing your girlfriend on a couch in the living room, or 10 minutes sitting on a hot stove, and tell me which one goes more quickly. Well, you know the answer to that. You know the answer to that. If you're doing anything that's pleasant or pleasurable, and, you know, for those of you who say, well, what an illustration to use, Miller, you got these people sitting on this couch kissing and all that. Hey, it was Einstein's illustration, and I repeated it because it is precisely what I wish to say. Job is not, hugging his wife here. He is in the fire of affliction, and it seems as if it will never stop. Now, some of you out there, I've said this before, and I'm going to continue saying it. Some of you that I know, that are known personally to me, some of you that I could name by name right now, are going through affliction and trials, and it is difficult. And there is nothing I can say to you that will make it any less difficult, because you are hurting. And we're going to read, we'll see what Job has to say here. And Job just wants it to stop. He just wants it to stop. Now, you might ask, why does he not suicide? Every time you turn around nowadays, someone has suicided. You pick up the paper, turn on the news. This famous country singer here the other day has tried to kill herself several times and finally succeeded. Why doesn't Job just suicide? Well, notice how chapter 7 begins, and we've already seen this. Job begins the chapter by saying, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? There's an appointed time. Well, if there is an appointed time, and that's what Job says, then who did the appointing? Well, Job knows, and I hope all of you know, that God does the appointing. It is God who appoints, and we, as his creatures, and particularly, I am talking to those of you who are saved, we have no right at all to take the matter into our own hands and shorten the time. It is God who brought us in. It is God who takes us out. And our business is to live within the time that God has appointed. Now, I have people ask me from time to time, what about people who are saved? They seem to be saved, that have every reason to believe that they are Christians, and they suicide. Do they go to hell? I don't believe it. No, I would have no reason to believe that. But I can tell you this, it is certainly not God's will for any believer. And there is certainly It's very sad because this individual is cutting himself off from everything that God wants to do for him or her, and in bitterness and anger, throwing it all back in God's face and saying, "That's it, I'm out of here." Now, I want you to just imagine here, just for the sake of our discussion, that Job had chosen suicide. Do you not see, do you not understand what would have happened? Well, for one thing, he would have cut himself off from the great blessings that God had in store for him. And we'll read it later on. He would have cut himself off from all of the things that God wanted to teach him about himself that Job didn't know. Job has an awful lot to learn. And God is using this difficult time to teach him these things, presumably because it's the only way they could be learned. And what about those of us who are sitting here today, oh, a couple of thousand years and more after the fact, 3,000 years about, after all of these incidents occurred, then here we are, and we have in the Bible, in the Word of God, this marvelous book, and we can read it and discuss it and profit from it. And Job, later on, if you read the book of the prophet Ezekiel, is mentioned as one of the as a righteous man, even as God mentions him as a righteous man at the beginning of this book. All of that would have been cut off and destroyed if Job had given in to his impulse here, and I'm sure that he has thought of it. And we would be left essentially with nothing, and Job would have lost a great deal. Now, for those of you out there who are hurting, and for those of you who are in pain and anguish, and it seems to go on, and there seems to be no way out, I beg you, listen to me. Commit your cause to the Lord and wait on Him. Now, let's read in the book of Job, and let's begin with verse 9 again, and just read some of this language here. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. This is Job talking now. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? When I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than life. I can't even get a peaceful night's sleep here, says Job. I cannot. I can lay down and think maybe I'll sleep and it'll be better tomorrow, or at least I can, have a pleasant dream. Oh, not even that. I mean, waking or sleeping, this guy is being tormented. And he can't figure out why. He doesn't know why. I've said this before, and now I'm going to say it again. If you are going through trial and tribulation and discouragement right now, and you are in your anguish and in your pain, casting around to see if you can figure out what it is you've done wrong to deserve this, I wouldn't tell you not to do that. It may be that there's something you have done that you need to get straightened out. But you may not have done anything. It may be that God is working a work in your life, and He is trying to bring something into your life of great value to Him and maybe even to others and certainly to you, and this may be the only way that He can get it done. I can assure you, once again, that God is building for eternity. I want you to think about the blessed Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to just consider him for a minute as he, knowing very well what lay ahead of him, went into the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed in anguish. If he had turned aside from that, and I say this reverently, he didn't, there was no way that he was going to turn aside from what lay ahead of him. But if he had, where would we be? We would all be lost. But he set his face like a flint, and he did not hide his face from shame and spitting. And he went forth to a place called Golgotha, where he was crucified, and where he was cut off from his Father, and where in great anguish he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you imagine, any of you listening to me, that God would have allowed his Son, in whom was all his delight, to go through that, if there had been another way to accomplish the will of God, to redeem mankind, to glorify God? Absolutely not. He would never have let his Son go through this. But this was the only way it could be done, through the death of the cross. And for those of you who have believed in the Lord Jesus and believed the gospel and have been saved, aren't you glad and thankful and delighted to be able to come to God and get down on your knees and thank him that he ever sent his Son, and thank the Son that he was willing to come? And whatever Job is going through here, it is nothing compared to what our Lord endured in three dreadful hours on that middle cross on Golgotha. The Holy One, who knew no sin, made sin for us. You cannot, I can sit here and talk about it, but I have told the Lord many times in praying to him, I don't understand it. I have lived in sin and with sin all my life. I've been surrounded by sin. How could I possibly understand what it was like for the sinless one to be made sin? How can I possibly understand what it was for one who never, for one instant, was in anything other than utter and absolute fellowship and loving fellowship face to face with his Father, our God? How can I understand what it cost him and God the Father for him to be separated? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? How could I understand how this one who was, the wages of sin is death. He had done nothing worthy of death. He had committed no sin to go down into death. Now, Job is at least, I'm looking at my Bible here in my little Newberry, and it gives the date of Job here is about 1520 B.C. So he is, if this is right, and I think it's probably pretty accurate, he is a millennium and a half before the Lord Jesus Christ ever walked on this earth. At the first of the book of Job, we see him offering up burnt sacrifices. I talked about it at that time, the blood sacrifice. Job understood this. But how well he understood it and how full his knowledge was of this, I don't know. I don't know if he understood that those lambs he was offering up were merely types of the blessed antitype who was coming, the Lamb of God who bears away the sins of the world. But I know this. The fires on the altar that Job built to offer up these lambs are nothing compared to the fires of judgment of the wrath of Almighty God that Jesus Christ our Lord went into alive. Job could not, I don't think, have understood how God fully was going to deal with his sin, because this was yet in the future. Job was saved just like a guy like me is saved, through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And it is just there. There is no other way. And yet it was all future to Job, just like it is all past right now to me. His sacrifice, our Lord's sacrifice, covers us all, from Adam and Eve down to the last person who will ever live. Job is in the fire of affliction here. And he is crying out in his anguish that our Lord Jesus Christ went like a sheep to the slaughter. Let's read some more of Job here. He says, I loathe it. I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me? Man, I mean, here's a guy, just let me alone, says Job. Let me depart, not, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle. I have sinned. Well, okay. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. I've got news for you, Job. I've got good news for you. And, of course, Job doesn't need to hear it now because he's home with the Lord and he knows it. But I've got news for all of you out there. Job's prayer here is answered. His iniquity is pardoned. And notice, I mean, even this righteous man, he understands that he has sinned. His iniquity is, and it has been pardoned, and it was pardoned in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are saved and you are hurting, hold on. God knows exactly how long to leave you into the fire. If you are unsaved and you are hurting, look to God right now and cry out to him. He is the one who gave his son to die for you, to take your sins away. He was buried and rose again for you. Why don't you call out to him right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.